Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Mallory's Weird World Adventures, the podcast. I have another episode here for you today that will be a companion to the second episode of the Weird World Adventures TV show, streaming now on Amazon Prime and Tubi. So if you haven't, I highly suggest you watch the second episode of Weird World Adventures first, and then come back here. You're welcome to listen to it. It doesn't really matter the order. But I'm going to be talking about what happens in the episode and just giving some extra information, cool behind-the-scenes stories and things like that. So, let's get started. The second episode of Weird World Adventure, as I'm pretty sure I've even mentioned twice now, was actually originally partly the pilot of Weird World Adventures. It consisted of us doing an interview at the Winchester Mystery House and the Whaley House. And the pilot episode when we originally shot it was so long and had so much content that we're like, well, this can't just be one episode. So we expanded it into two and stretched it out. And this is fun. So the opener for this one was also shot much later. You can kind of see that I still have a little bit of the pink hair going on there. And again, I have extra weight on me here. This is actually, I think, the heaviest I've ever been in my life because this was after I was sick. So I actually look very different here in this opener than I do in the rest of the episode. Again, so that's kind of fun. But I love that shirt. I got that shirt from Target. But the opener was filmed at Bunny Henge. And if you don't know what Bunny Henge is, it is basically a replica of Stonehenge recreated with bunny statues. It's a little bit smaller than Stonehenge, thankfully, but it's just this like weird circle of white rabbits in a park out in Newport Beach, California. And it's just kind of weird. Taxpayers' dollars went into this sculpture and people were not happy about it. And, you know, I don't really blame them. I think it's cool, but there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's several bunnies there. I can't count because I'm running all over these bunnies in this episode. But there is quite a few bunnies in a circle. So naturally, the first thing that I wanted to do with the giant circle of bunnies is play duck, duck, goose, because why would you not? And when you stand in the middle of the bunnies, it kind of looks like you're about to be sacrificed by a cult of bunnies, which is pretty cool. So I highly recommend checking out Bunny Henge. I mean, who knew there were so many eccentrically bizarre statues out there in the world? And I mean, I know there are, but I've learned more and more things recently. And I mean, whoever decided, let's create a statue of Stonehenge, except with bunnies, I applaud you. I mean, really, what a contribution to the world there. I actually love it. I love weird art, if you haven't already seen that. But anyway, this episode of Weird World Adventures, aside from the stuff being recorded at Bunny Henge for the opener and the closure, the rest of it was filmed in 2019 as a part of the pilot, as I mentioned. And I was so excited to be able to film at the infamous Whaley House, which was called the most haunted house in America, based on one of the Travel Channel's America's Most Haunted shows. And it was really exciting to just get to see the Whaley House up close in person, all of the old historical artifacts, the living room. So we show the family like parlor living room a lot. And that's actually closed off from people being able to go in, but they were kind enough to let us actually get to step inside and experience it. So it was cool to get to see all the furniture up close, all the props. We filmed our interview upstairs in the theater. And yeah, there's a fun story. So in order to get to one of the bedrooms, because they did let us go inside again and get, you know, some close-up footage of some of the rooms. So we were filming our interview in the theater upstairs, and we actually had people come sit in. It was really cool. Some of the visitors just wanted to hear the interview and get more information. So we actually had like an audience come form around us and watch us speak, which was cool. And then Dean, who was the historian for the Whaley House. He's a wonderful guy, by the way. We became Instagram friends after this, and he's just super cool. He actually went down the rabbit hole watching Dark Shadows and absolutely inspired me to also go watch Dark Shadows, which I still haven't done, but it's on the top of my to-do list with shows. So I'm definitely going to. I just know what a time commitment it is, but I'm very excited to watch Dark Shadows. And when I do, I'm going to. It's all Dean. Thank you, Dean. So I, anyway, we filmed our interview in the theater there. And then you can kind of see, like, behind us where the skull is in the interview for most of that part of the episode. We actually went back up on stage and then went around to the side there over to the right if you're looking at us. And that kind of led into a passageway, which got us into one of the other bedrooms because otherwise they're kind of closed off with glass. And there was, like, a child's coffin in between. And he's like, oh, that's just, like, you know, here for our Halloween decor. But it was, like, February. It was very bizarre. Like, they had some creepy stuff in the in-between, which was wild. And then we get in there, and I'm walking around, kind of, like, getting some close-up footage and looking around. And I just hear this, wha-bam! And I'm like, ugh. And sure enough, Matt Pedlow had smashed his camera into the glass. Luckily, nothing broke, but my heart stopped there for a second. Like, oh no, they knew that was us. So the Whaley House was the Whaley's home. Now, Thomas Whaley was the father of the Whaley family here. And he was one of the influential members of early Old Town San Diego. And the thing that I thought was most interesting about the Whaley House is that you continually hear how haunted it is, but I never kind of put into perspective, I guess, that even when the Whaleys lived there themselves, they claimed that they were experiencing paranormal activity and ghosts and hauntings. So it's not like, oh, the Whaley family haunts this house. This was their home. It used to be over a gallows. Well, there was a gallows where the house was built, and Mr. Whaley himself actually visited and, like, was there for at least one of the hangings. So when he bought the property to build the house, he knew, well, this is where the gallows were. And I think he was telling his girls that, you know, oh, this house was built on the gallows. So it was specifically Lillian Whaley who kept a diary. And Dean actually felt quite a connection to her when we talked about it because he was able to read her diary and kind of get a lot of her insights into anything. And he mentioned that in her diary, she talked about it being haunted. Like, oh, that's Yankee Jim Robinson. He's our ghost. So it's funny to me just that disconnect that, like, oh, when the Whaleys lived here, they also thought it was haunted. And now we think it's haunted by the Whaleys. And perhaps the most tragic thing to happen, I think, in that house, something that connected with me when I heard the story, was Violet Whaley. Violet Whaley, we talk about it in the episode, but she had several suicide attempts, and then she wound up taking her own life on the property because, you know, she loved someone, and he wound up being not such a great guy, and you know, she had to go back home, and it just the whole thing was very sad. And her letter, so she had a letter that she left in a poem, and part of that was, like, you can read up about it online, but I know I asked Dean a lot of questions about that because it was very interesting. On top of it being the family home, the Whaley House was also the courthouse for a while. So they recreated part of the downstairs to show what it would look like when it was a courthouse. The upstairs had a theater building in there where they actually had players come and perform. And it just, I mean, like most old houses, it has history. But unlike most old houses, it has so much history, having been the county courthouse and a store and a theater and a family home. And the Whaleys were very influential to Old Town San Diego. So I think it's just, first of all, it's great if you love history, and it's great if you love the paranormal, because the Whaley House is, like I said, one of the most haunted houses in America. The Whaley House is part of the Save Our Heritage organization, too, in San Diego. So you can donate for their efforts to restore a lot of the Old Town, including the Whaley House. So you should definitely check that out It was a very, very cool experience. If nothing else, getting to go behind the scenes and film in some of the places of the Whaley House that people aren't usually allowed to go to. It was pretty incredible. And as mentioned in my first return podcast episode, this was all part of a crazy plethora of days of filming where my camera guy, Matt Pavlo, flew in and then I picked him up from the airport and then we drove all the way to San Diego immediately to film here and then drove all the way back to Los Angeles and then the next day drove all the way up to San Diego to film at the Winchester Mystery House and then all the way back home. So it was quite an adventure. This was the first stop in the adventure, so I was definitely more refreshed. But I think one of the coolest things about Weird World Adventures and getting to work on this show is the people that you meet, too. You know, I like that I wound up meeting Dean and following him on Instagram, and I secretly stalk him on Instagram. So, Dean, if you're listening, I secretly stalk you on Instagram. Not really. Not in a scary way. But, you know, it inspired me to watch Dark Shadows, which I will have to do a recap on once we get there. So then, I believe the next segment of this episode of the show had us going to Monopoly in the Park. Now, I got up at 2:30 in the morning to get ready, and then we drove to San Jose at 3:30 in the morning. So when we got here to San Jose, it was early and I was exhausted and we had been driving forever. And I really wanted to see this Monopoly in the Park because it's supposedly the world's largest game of Monopoly. And it's supposed to be the big board and there's like big dice. And it's big enough to be on Atlas Obscura as like a place of interest. So I'm like, yeah, I want to see the biggest Monopoly board. And then I get there and it's big, but it's like not as big as you're thinking it's going to be. Like I'm not, you know, throwing punches here at Monopoly in the Park, but it wasn't all that I thought it would be. Like, it is a big board of Monopoly, but it's not like a big board of Monopoly. And we thought it would be cute if I ran across the board a bunch of times and then asked for $200 to, you know, because I passed go. And I'm like, that's how we could fund the show, right? We can just sit here all day. And that would be a great publicity stunt for someone to do, which I could go back and do. Like, all right, we're going to collect funding. You're going to pay me $200 every time I run around. But I couldn't find anybody to actually pay me $200 when I was running around the board. But it's a good idea in theory. There's something there. There's something there. And then, so we did our chaos in the park. And I think it was, we had our interview at the Winchester House at noon. And It was noon. And I don't think we ate before we went in there because we were like, I was so just on adrenaline and we're going and going. And I know we left so early. And I think we ate at the Winchester Mystery House because they have a little cafe there after we got there. So I don't really know how I made that work, but I sure did. And we get to the Winchester Mystery House. And if you don't know, I mean, first of all, watch the episode because we definitely talk about it. But I'm sure even if you don't watch the episode, you've probably heard of the Winchester Mystery House. Sarah Winchester was the widow of the Winchester Rifle Company. Her husband passed away and left her quite a bit of money. And she moved to San Jose and bought a 5-room farmhouse. And somehow, over the course of many, many, many years, expanded it into this crazy, exotic, maze-like mansion. And when I say maze-like and weird, I mean, we're talking, there's a stairway that goes to nowhere. There is a door that opens up from the second floor out into the garden below. There are some strange design and architectural choices. It's because it's so bizarre, people think that she was motivated by spirits. Like the legend is that she believed that if she didn't continually build onto the house, that the spirits of those who were killed by the Winchester Rifles would come after her. Now, we talked to the historian at the Winchester Mystery House, and the funny thing is they don't have any record that Sarah actually believed in ghosts. There's not really much that's ever been said in that way, like historically, if you're looking for evidence and validation. However, during that time, when she lived, most people practiced spiritualism. So it was likely that society overall did believe in ghosts. A lot of wealthy people had a lot of time on their hands, and many of them actually had seance rooms built into their homes. And there was a seance room in the Winchester Mystery House. So it is very likely that Sarah did believe in ghosts. It's likely that that was a common practice at the time because people did practice spiritualism. It's likely that she held seances there. Now, no one knows for sure whether or not that had anything to do with the kooky building. And to be honest, she seemed to be someone that always had an interest in architecture based on the records that they do have. So it is also likely that she just enjoyed weird designs and was an eccentric person. She seemed like quite the character with the things that she built. And, you know, I guess that adds to the mystery. It's kind of, you know, it's interesting. People don't know why she did what she did. It was bizarre. She could be laughing at everyone now and just be like, well, you know, the joke was that no one knew. Like, you know, the joke could be that no one was supposed to know. And, you know, the fact that everyone's second guessing what she was doing is all just a big joke. Or she could have very much believed that the spirits were coming for her. I know that there was an earthquake in 1906, I want to say, which like, you know, destroyed a lot of the structure that was there because it used to be several stories higher because it had a tower that did collapse during the earthquake. And she was stuck in her bedroom at the time and then never went back into that bedroom because she got stuck in there. And parts of that have never quite been restored. So you can kind of go, and if you do the Explore More tour there, you can see these areas that have been closed off that, you know, aren't exactly finished anymore that were, you know, kind of shuffled around during the big earthquake. Now, since the Winchester Mystery House was kind of known to be a maze, I did ask if there were any practical design elements that would make sense. And they did point out, like, the twisty, windy little stairs that go around and around and around and around and around and around and around, were actually because she had arthritis when she was older, and it was easier for her to just do baby steps all the way up and around. So some of the weird elements do have practicality to them. There was, you know, very low ceilings in some of the upper floors, but she was a very short person. So, you know, it doesn't matter to her. It's easy for her. So there were design elements. You know, there was 13 in a lot of her motifs and a lot of spider webs. But back during that time, 13 was considered a lucky number. And spider webs were just a part of Asian design. So a lot of the mystery, I feel like, of the Winchester House is very cultural. It's something that made sense back then that we've become separated enough from that these things have different meanings now. 13 is now an unlucky number. And so, you know, we read more into it than what it is. But I will say it is a weird place with very strange architecture. The people that work there all kind of have stories of weird stuff that's happened while they were there. So who knows? You know, it's possible it's haunted. Something I think is really cool about the Winchester House, I actually went back there to do PR for their Halloween event a couple of years ago. And it's wild. Like, they actually created a haunted maze up and down and around and through the actual Winchester Mystery House. So you get to go through, have people jump out at you, get all scared. You know, like, inside one of the quote-unquote most haunted houses in America. And that to me was just, I mean, the ambiance is just perfect. And we went through the maze. And I guess I didn't realize how many stairs are in the Winchester House. Because, man, it's up and up and up and up and down and down and down and down. And the whole maze is like stairs, 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 stairs. And, you know, normally, I don't even think I would have noticed that there were that many stairs. I mean, I did the 3-hour tour when I came to film my show. But I don't drink very much, and I had one drink when we went up there for the Halloween thing. Like, oh, I'll take the edge off, and I'm not really a drinker. So, man, it knocked me out. I don't know why or how or what they put in that drink, but those stairs became a lot harder. But it was very cool to get to do a cool haunted maze in one of the most haunted houses in America. I mean, it's just awesome. And speaking of, total sidebar here, I am devastated because Dark Harbor at the Queen Mary has been gone for several years and it looks like it's just not coming back. And that was my number one. I love Halloween. I love doing the Halloween mazes. I'll do them everywhere I can each year. And my favorite, the one that I think personally is just the best, that tops all the others, was Dark Harbor at the Queen Mary, because you got to do several of the haunted Halloween mazes on the old ship through some of the closed parts of the ship, the old closed off swimming pool, the rooms that are no longer, you know, sold out, the boiler room for the ship. It was cool. I did it every year. It was always the best. The ambiance was so incredible. And then it went away during COVID. And then last year, Shacktoberfest replaced it. Okay, that's my sidebar. The Queen Mary was the best. And I will say Winchester was probably a nice close second, because you're getting to do a haunted maze through the Winchester Mystery House. Something else that was funny, I was set on this. I wanted to recreate a Scooby-Doo style chase at the Winchester Mystery House, because I mean, what better setting could there be for it to put in my show? And so we asked the PR person with us if he could show us like a good hallway where we could run back and forth and in and out of the doors like in Scooby-Doo. And he was like, oh, yeah, okay. And so we find the one hallway that like, well, this will work. And we open some of the doors to like look in and be like, okay, well, we can go here and then do this. And it was like, open the door and nope, there's no floor in this room. Close the door. Open this. Oh, this door doesn't go anywhere. Close the door. So Sarah's architecture is so bizarre that we couldn't even utilize like a hallway of doors to make a funny little like fake Scooby-Doo montage, which was a bummer. But I tried. And I think it's funny that Sarah's strange architecture foiled my Scooby-Doo gag. Something else that's really cool about the Winchester Mystery House that I think is, personally for me, it hits a sweet spot, was that Imagineers from Disneyland actually came to the Winchester House to study the flow of the tourist through the house and use that as inspiration for the Haunted Mansion. And it was specifically the ballroom that they took interest in. So when you go to the Winchester House and you see the ballroom and there's the organ in there and the cool glass windows, that room was inspired by the Winchester Mystery House. And you can definitely see elements of it in the Haunted Mansion ride. So I think that's really cool, personally. I got a kick out of that because I spent pretty much most of my 20s at Disneyland just, you know, celebrating Disneyland and life. So the Haunted Mansion was always my favorite. And the fact that you can actually, you know, see a piece of that and where, like, you can see the inspiration, where it came from out in the real world. And I just thought that was really cool, especially because that was my absolute favorite ride of all times. And I think I did actually give a little nod to that, too, because at the very end of this episode, I say, I hope you enjoyed our ghastly tour, which is definitely a nod to the Haunted Mansion. Speaking of, again, off topic, but really cool. If you're ever at Disneyland Park during Halloween, I highly recommend you check out the Happy Haunts tour. You have to book it very, very, very far in advance, like pretty much as soon as it opens. So maybe even 6 months out, like you need to know you're going to book it and plan ahead. But you basically get to go trick-or-treating at Disneyland, and then you get to cut the line for the Haunted Mansion and Space Mountain. and Big Thunder Mountain. And your guide for pretty much most of the trip is Master Gracie himself. So if you don't know Disneyland lore, let me tell you, my love for mythology and folklore and legends and all of this even goes into obscure nonsense like Disneyland lore. I can pretty much tell you the entire history of the Targaryen family in Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire, and I can definitely tell you about a lot of the lore and nonsense at Disneyland Park. And Master Gracie is the head of the Haunted Mansion. He was the person who owned it, and his story has been changed many times throughout the movies that they have done regarding the Haunted Mansion. But in the OG Disneyland lore, he was a pirate. And that makes sense because he's, you know, the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland Park is right by the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. And it's in, you know, quote unquote, the New Orleans section. And he hid the fact that he was a pirate, and he hid all of his treasure up in the, you know, attic area of the Haunted Mansion. And his young bride was told, you know, she had full reign of the house, but not to go up in the attic because he didn't want her to know that he was a pirate. And, you know, eventually curiosity got the best of her, and she went up there and found out that he was. And he was so enraged that he accidentally, you know, had a fit of rage and pushed her from the balcony, and she fell to her death. And at Disney World, they actually have her little wedding ring hidden as like a hidden Mickey kind of in the ground of the ride queue. So that's kind of fun. Little nod there. But that was kind of the story. And then, you know, he got Madame Leota involved to try to communicate with her spirit. And during the seance, something went wrong and lightning hit, you know, Leota's ball. And then she got sucked in, and all of a sudden all the, you know, the veil to the underworld got lifted, and all of the chaos broke loose, and then all the ghosts came out in the house. And that's basically the story. And it's actually pretty dark, too, because if I'm not mistaken, Master Gracie does take his own life. And there is a nod to that. And I mean, both versions of the story where he said, you know, leaving you with the challenge to find a way out of the elevator. And then there's always my way. And he's kind of like hanging up at the top of the elevator, which is a very dark thing to have in a children's ride. But, you know, I guess you don't really grasp the full concept of that as a child. Anyway, very off topic, but I do love the fact that the Winchester Mystery House can tie into this weird folklore and legend of lore of Disneyland. So that's basically the second episode of Weird World Adventures in a nutshell. I really, like I said before, couldn't believe that I got the Winchester House and the Whaley House. And when that happened, mixed with the New England Society for Psychic Research, I knew that I had a show, and it gave me the confidence to push forward and film more. So that's all for the second episode of Weird World Adventures. Tune in next week where we go over the third episode of Weird World Adventures, and I hope you're following along and watching these shows on Amazon Prime and Tubi. Awesome. You guys have a great day, and until next time, stay weird.